Marababa shatala da brindi gididis. Marabagadi da boche kerere de boche. Libra la sondi.
Good morning. Welcome to your morning faith boost, your morning energizer. We are here to help you start your day with the best ingredient of all, and that is God's word. So, yep, thank you for joining in from wherever you are. We believe it's been helpful. We are now on episode 3 on the importance of speaking in tongues. I believe it's helpful, enlightening, you know, encouraging. All right, and insightful. Okay, so let's roll. So yesterday we touched something quite interesting, and then we'd stay on it a bit more today. And I like the thought. I believe you do, but don't forget. First day we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, right, verse 10 through to verse 18, right, that says you should be strong in the Lord and in the power of the Lord's might. Okay, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and then encouraging us to put on the armor of God. And we ended it all at the 18th verse. All right, encouraging us in verse 18, encouraging us that, hey, you've got to pray. But how? Pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So now we're touching something quite interesting, and that's a two-party system, or should I say two-part system. We looked at that yesterday, that when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is helping you pray. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's us looking at it in the King James. When I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. You know, very many times people say, oh, but when I pray in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't understand it. It's not clear. And then the devil capitalizes on that. The flesh comes in too. You know, just give up on this whole thing. It's not working. It's not worth it. How could you be speaking a language you don't understand? And I'm still glad we're going to touch misconceptions. All right, but listen, the Bible already said your understanding isn't fruitful. This is the reason, all right? You are not praying through your thinking. You're not praying through your mind, all right? Tongues bypasses your understanding. It does. So it's not where you have to think in English and then speak in English and possibly edit what you're saying even before you say it or why you're saying it. You know, you could correct yourself and say, oh, I didn't say that well. You know, so tongues doesn't do that. Tongues picks the very thoughts in your mind and your heart and then comes out of your mouth with the words that the Holy Spirit will give you, not words you are speaking. So it's not something you are saying. So even you who speak in tongues, you would need an interpretation of what you are saying because they are not your words. Acts chapter 2. All right. So in Acts chapter 2, we find from verse 1, Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3 says, and there was divided upon each one of them cloven tongues and as of fire, and it sat on them. I want you to take note of verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So some people say, oh, see here, the Holy Ghost was the one speaking, all right? Not them. No, they spoke and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there's this two-part system, and it's exciting. Okay, when you pray in tongues, you are doing the talking, but the Holy Ghost is giving you the words. When you pray in tongues, you are doing the talking, the Holy Ghost is giving you the words. When you pray in tongues, you are doing the talking, the Holy Ghost is giving you the words. Guys, we can't miss this kind of prayer. We can't pray amiss. All right, you can't pray aimless. You can't pray unanswered prayers. All right, how? You know, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us. And if we know that he hears us whatever we ask, then we'll know that we receive the petition that we desired of him. All right, so basic prayer that God will answer is prayer prayed according to God's will. Do you understand? All right, God hears and answers prayers prayed according to God's will. But who is the best person here now to know the will of God is the Holy Spirit. So when you pray in tongues, Amplified Bible says your spirit by the Holy Spirit within you prays. When you pray in tongues, your spirit by the Holy Spirit within you prays. I know we touched this yesterday. I believe it bears repetition for today. When you pray in tongues, your spirit by the Holy Spirit within you prays. Are you getting that? All right. So when you talk in tongues, those words coming out of your mouth, but you might wonder, someone else seems to say it better. The person seems to have more vocabulary where speaking in tongues is concerned. I just have a few syllables. Maybe all I just get to say is ba, 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 ba. Start from where you are. Start from what you have. All right. Start from there. All right. And you grow. One important thing that I would like to advise you to do is when you talk in tongues, listen to yourself and focus as though you were talking to someone because you are talking to God. You would watch your own vocabulary expand. You would. All right. But if you disdain it, it just might not change for a little while. All right. All right. I mean, when I began talking in tongues, I didn't have too many syllables also, but I kept praying and then it expanded. Hey. So I'm sure there are loads of people. But yet again, I have a friend that the very, 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 First day he spoke in tongues. Oh, wow. Wonderful guy. All right, didn't know about talking in tongues many years back. All right, so we got talking about it. All right, prayed with him. He didn't speak in tongues. I'm like, you know what? You've received, okay? So go home and just keep thanking God, all right? And I've had to do that with a number of people. Just go home, thank God. Go home, thank God. Don't go home asking or praying anymore. You know, next day, you know, where, you know, interns back then. Next day, he saw me. He was excited. Wow. He was super, super excited. He saw me. I'm like, ah, guess what? Guess what? You know, I was reading. You know, he was reading. Okay. At night before he went to bed, he said, while he was reading the book, you know, tongues just flowed forth. Just, blah, 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 you know, just. It was exciting. I mean, I told him, I said, I didn't even do that when I talked in tongues, you know. I wasn't that fluent. He just flowed forth fluently. It's very, 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 very first time. And then not like anybody laid hands on him right there when it happened. All right, we prayed together, you know, at the office. And then he was just on his own, but alone with the Holy Ghost. So, Bible says, when we pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost helps us. So, an interesting word we looked at yesterday, I want us to pick it up again today, which is 1 Corinthians 14:2. So, we're looking at the two-party system, or the two-part system, and then we're picking on this word. 1 Corinthians 14 and the second verse. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men." All right, whoever speaks in an unknown tongue, speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, but in the spirit he speaks mysteries. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, but in the spirit he speaks mysteries. The word mysteries, I said yesterday, they mean secret truths, hidden things. Secret truths, hidden things, things that have been hidden, all right? Things, you know, kept back, kept away, secret truth. Hidden things. Now, there are, all right, the plan of God, the agenda of God for the earth is hidden. It's unknown to everybody, okay? But now, the plan of God in Christ also is hidden. But Paul says God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit, so we have to come into the epistles to know what these things are. The plan of God for your life, they are hidden, all right? The plan of God for the people around you, hidden. Where will God have you be by December? You don't know. What will God have you be in the next 3 years? You don't know. What will God have you be in the next 5 years? You don't know. So you find very many times we sit up and say, okay, I want to draw a plan for my life. All right, I want to draw this plan. You know, I'm a go-getter. I'm going to draw this plan. And this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to accomplish it. And that in itself is fantastic. But something you need to have in mind is this. All right, so those plans of yours, all right, might not be the master plan. Those plans of yours might not be the master plan. There is an agenda that God has for your life. And that's where we go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. "However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." That word again. This verse we read yesterday. All right, so stay with me. "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." I love this verse 7. It's saying there's a particular wisdom that God kept before the world began, and this wisdom is for our glory. It's for us to shine. All right, verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Verse 9, "but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him." Again, "but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him." God has prepared some great things for you. Allow me to say that like 5 times. God has prepared some great things for you. 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 One more time. God has prepared some great things for you. God has. He has. He really has. Okay? So God has this beautiful master plan, this agenda where your life is concerned. Solid, solid stuff. Okay? But guess what? You don't know what it is. So he says again, "eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him." Nobody knows what it is. You don't know, nobody knows. But you need to know because you want to walk in the agenda for God or of God for your life. All right? So verse 10 says, but God, glory to God, but God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God has revealed His plans for us in Christ Jesus, all right? So we're bringing it home and saying the plan of God for your life. Now, if God will reveal the agenda He has for all of us, right, in Christ, then it means that the agenda that He has for you is a piece of cake, all right? The agenda He has for you is a subset in the entire agenda He has for humanity in Christ Jesus. So verse 10 says, well, God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, the depths of God, the very innermost thoughts of God. Okay, you can't get the best of God just on the surface. The Bible says there are things that I refer to as the deep things, the deep things. Okay, we're looking at two words, mystery, please, and then the two-part system. All right, mystery, two-part system. All right, so 11. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knows nobody but the Spirit of God. This is clear. Nobody knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that person. Same way nobody knows the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. All right? Don't forget, there are deep things in the mind of God, verse 10, and then God reveals those deep things to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. All right? 11 says, nobody knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man. Nobody knows the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. 12. We have received, you and I, glory to God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us of God. Listen, these verses express to us God's matchless love. You wonder how? God in verse 9 shows us, all right, that He has a very solid plan for our lives that nobody knows about. Did you get that? The same God by verse 10 now gives us His Spirit, all right, to reveal this plan to us. Don't forget, verse 9 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So if you don't read verse 10 carefully, you'll think, oh, God doesn't want to show us, but the Spirit is going deep into the mind of God to get it out. No, God has revealed this thing to us by His Spirit. So it's God's intention that we know what these things are. So God reveals things to us by His Spirit. Number 9, verse 9. God has a great plan for your life. God has a great plan for your life. God has a great plan for your life. Verse 10, God reveals His great plan for you by His Spirit. Verse 11, nobody knows the great plan of God except the Spirit of God. The same way nobody knows your own thoughts except your Spirit. Verse 12, God has now given to you this same Spirit that knows His plan. Oh my goodness, this is exciting. All right, watch this. 9, God has great plans for us, okay? 10, God has allowed His Spirit to reveal the plans to us. 11, only the Spirit of God knows the deep thoughts of God. 12, God has now given you His Spirit. 10 says, God has allowed His Spirit to reveal it to us. 12 says, God has now allowed the Spirit to come live in us. That means the Spirit that lives in you and I is a person who knows the mind of God. The Spirit that lives in us is a person that knows the mind of God. The Spirit that lives in us is the same person who knows the mind of God. The Spirit that lives in us knows the mind of God. The Spirit that lives in us knows the thoughts of God. This is exciting. There is a master plan. There is a master plan. Oh, there is. I mean, I've been trying not to get there yet with us on this platform this week. But it's okay to say it right now. There is a master plan. All right. Oh, isn't it amazing? All right, we're reading, all right, something from Apostle Paul, from Paul the Apostle. And then Paul was the guy who persecuted the church. Paul was a guy who was there, you know, when Stephen was being stoned, he was at his feet, you know, the young Paul, where they dropped their garment when they were going to stone Stephen. And then Paul would ride on horses, you know, get into the homes of Christians, pull them out, get them arrested, a number of them killed and all of that. So Paul was waxing stronger and stronger in persecuting the church. Then Jesus shows up to him on the way to Damascus and then begins telling him, why are you persecuting me? You know the rest of the story. Paul now becomes apostle. Paul is preaching the gospel. Paul is writing us letters. But Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 that when he pleased God, you know, to reveal His Son in me, God who had chosen me from my mother's womb. You're like, ooh. Okay. So all the while, Paul was just doing all of that, you know, arresting and, you know, watching Christians get killed. It was just meandering in God's great agenda. It was just meandering. Just meandering. Remember Moses? Okay? So Moses, of course, his parents realized that it was a beautiful child. They needed to preserve him. And then they had to, you know, neglect the instruction that Pharaoh had given. Okay, so they kept him. Wisdom. Mom let him float from the basket. Ask his sister to watch him. Pharaoh's daughter catches him or finds him. Sister shows up and said, I'll get you a nurse. She calls Mama. Mama shows up. So Mama, sister, all right, have the privilege to nurse and to watch over baby Moses. So baby Moses grows up. Okay, so he's about 40 years of age. All right, he had known before then he was an Israelite. He tried delivering an Israelite from an Egyptian, kills the guy, flees. For the next 40 years, he's in the land of Midian. God appears to him and God schools him all over again. And Moses shows up as the deliverer, the person who he was born to be. Person who was born to be. As in, this is exciting. And this is how perfect this script is. God had already told Abraham that your seed will spend 400 years in a strange land. Yeah, they ended up spending 430 years. We could calculate and say Moses likely stepped out 10 years ahead of time. So he spent 40 years in the wilderness. All right, so that adds 40, all right, to 10 years ahead of time. So 10 plus the ideal time would have been 430 extra, would have been 430. Okay, so Moses now delays the plan for an extra 30 years. But we still find Moses being brought back, being brought through, I can't tell if everybody would in every instance, all right, enjoy that level, all right, but we find Moses being brought back. Moses just meandered, and then God brought him back and said, boy, there is a master plan. You are the one chosen to deliver the people. Go get your job done. There is a master plan. So it's exciting. So I said two things now. We're looking at a two-part system, and then we're looking at the word mystery. So, mysteries, secret truths, hidden things. You and I agree that there's nothing hidden to God, nothing hidden from God. We all agree. Nothing hidden from God. So when I talk in tongues, I speak mysteries, secret truths, hidden things. If you remember Mark chapter 4, Jesus told the parable of the sower. The crowd left. Obviously, they didn't get the full import of it. So the disciples asked him, Lord, tell us also this parable. You know, and Jesus said to them, don't you get it? If you don't, then hey, this is the mother of all parables. And Jesus, in the 11th verse of Mark 10, says to them, it's been given unto you to know the mysteries. That word again. It's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To them that are outside, everything will be said and done in parables. But to you, you have a right to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That word, secret truths, hidden things. All right, it's from the, you know, word hush. Hush. All right, it is silence imposed upon people, all right, when initiated. All right, so basically it means that there is a secret within a particular caucus that it's only members of that caucus would understand it. This is exciting. That means God, having a holy caucus, all right, a caucus of divinity, has now brought us into that caucus such that there are secrets here in their caucus that they will not keep away from us any longer. There are secrets, things about our lives, things about tomorrow, things you and I can pray out. I remember a dear minister of the gospel, well, not dear like I've ever had to meet him physically, but his materials had been a blessing to me growing up as a believer. His name is Mark Brzee. All right, so Mark Brzee, you know, is a son to Kenneth Hagin in the ministry, and then they had certain missions, all right, things to do, and then they got praying things out, just praying things out, praying things out. All right, so one day they knew they needed to pray out. Now, it might not in everybody's case be this spectacular or specific. You know, it could be specific, but maybe not spectacular by you seeing it, but I know that is possible. All right. So they needed to have a Bible school. All right. Have a Bible school in a particular location. All right. And then they got praying, they got praying, they got praying, they got praying to a point where the exact picture of the building that would house the Bible school was seen in the place of prayer. The exact picture. And by the leading of the Spirit, they knew the location where it was going to be. So not like God now spoke the location, but they saw the building. All right, Mark Basie said they saw the building in the place of prayer, but they knew in their hearts the location. So it was like vision, all right? And then it was still inward witness to guide them. So they traveled, you know, I think it was somewhere in Russia, you know, somewhere, you know, that Soviet side. Got there and then asked about, described, okay, this area, that area, this area. They got to a particular point, almost turning back, and they felt, why don't we go through, like there was like an arc leading to another, like looked like a street or a crescent or something. He said they passed through the place and voila, the exact building they had seen in the place of prayer, exact, standing in front of them. These men prayed in America. This building was in, you know, the Soviet nation, Soviet side. And they prayed it out until. And Mark Brazy always would say that praying in tongues is you learning to do business with God. Praying in tongues is you learning to do business with God. It's you teaming up with the Holy Ghost. That two-part system. The Holy Ghost knows the mind of God. You are on earth representing God. Two of you coming together. He knows the thoughts of God. You have the mouth with which to pray. He gives you the utterance. Don't forget Acts 2 verse 4. He gives you the words to speak. He gives you the utterance. You are the one praying. He comes to give you the exact words. He knows the words you should speak. He knows how you should tailor the prayer point. And then you pray it all out. So the prayer, like we looked at from the first day, there are different kinds of prayer. So yes, there's a prayer of petition. All right, so I believe I receive what now? So I believe I receive a donkey. All right, just something. All right, so I apply Mark 11:24. All right, well, things whatever I desire when I pray, believe I receive and I have. So I release my faith for a donkey. I believe I receive a donkey in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. The donkey is mine. Donkey is mine in Jesus' name. So every day, like we've learned on how to receive from God, I could go thanking Him. I could praise Him. I could do all that. But you know, I could add tongues to the process. I could just talk in tongues each time. Thank you, Lord, because this donkey is mine. Glory to God. I'm talking in tongues for a while. Glory to God. Glory. You could. Now you don't have to. Right? Because some now do so much of that, it's as if having faith in God's word seems not to be enough. So unconsciously, the tongues and the prayers they are praying, the added, you know, just praying in tongues about it, is a subtle level of doubt. So if you know that's going on with you, don't do that. Just spend time giving thanks. Oh, Father, thank you because it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. All right? Is mine. I'm just saying, like I said, you know, which I think I must have mentioned last Friday about energizing your faith. You could talk in tongues just to strengthen and embolden you. You could talk in tongues also to stir up wisdom, to help you to be more sensitive. Because in between you believing, receive, and getting the exact thing you want, you might need to be led by the Spirit to know exactly what you want. I mean, to get to the thing you want or find how the thing gets to you. So same for where this praying in tongues, you know, I'm bringing in today comes in. Haven't released your faith, you could just pray in tongues. Because you know, when you release your faith for something, especially when it has to do with certain other people, God would have to be working on them, telling this person to release the funds, or tell this person to show you the favor, or tell this person to assist you. You know, the Holy Ghost keeps working now, even if you don't talk in tongues, God is working. All right? But God might just have you just talk in tongues in the process. Don't forget, the very first day Daniel prayed, his prayer was answered. But then Daniel waited 21 days. But thank God Daniel never gave up. So in the process of waiting, it could be glory to God. Just talk in tongues. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Glory to God. You get that? So you could use that for a prayer of faith. You could use that for a prayer of consecration and dedication. God's plans. I consecrate myself to the plans and purposes of God for my life. I'm not clear as to what God will have me doing this season. And just pray in tongues. Oh, and this is so beautiful in this area. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Because the deep things about your life, the deep things, all right, those things God has hidden where your life is concerned, all right, you don't know what they are. So you could live through life, have a wonderful, wonderful life, and then God's like, no, there's the deep side. Pray it out. Pray it out. It's you and the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's a Holy Ghost journey. 1 Corinthians 6, all right? And then we'll begin to tie it up there. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 17th verse. 1 Corinthians 6, 17, all right? It says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I'll take it again. 1 Corinthians 6, 17.
But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Wow. Guys, this is saying that we and the Holy Ghost are united. You and I, plus the Holy Ghost, we're united. We're united. I mean, a number of years ago, God led me from Lagos to Ogun State. Oh, dear Lord. I mean, you could have wondered, what's going to happen? How are you going to survive? How are you going to start church in a strange land? But God, by his divine agenda, in his master plan, had arranged one of the greatest bunch I'd ever had to work with. Wonderful sets of people. Meet them one after the other, year after the other, you know, place after the other. But God had arranged something. But all because we don't see the arrangement. We fret, we shake, we shiver. But you and the Holy Ghost are together. Who is the Holy Ghost? The person that knows the mind of God. He is the one who is interpreting the plan of God. There is a master plan. And then there's someone to interpret and say, this is it. Oh, that is it. That same person lives inside of you. So face your day, face your week, face your month. Face this whole COVID period and post-COVID, knowing that I am not alone, I'm walking with, and I have living in me the person who knows the master plan. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So pray in tongues, take our time. Don't just pray in tongues and say, oh, I want the money, then you get the money. Pray out the plans and purposes for your life. Don't just say, oh, I want the spouse, you get the spouse. Spouse is part of the master plan. Money and funding is part of the everything. There's a master plan. All right, pray out the agenda of God for your life. Okay, I believe you understand that. Okay, well, it's so nice to look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Have a spirit-filled, tongue-talking day. All right, blessings.
Holy Spirit.